Hi, and welcome back to the Vaulting Pod. Today, I'm going to interview Felix Bender from the German magazine, which is called Der Voltigierzirkel.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, thank you.
Good.
And how are you?
Oh, I'm good. It's quite cozy, cold and snowy, but it's fine. I love this time of the year. Do you have any snow in Germany?
Yes, yes. Today there was a little bit of snow, but I think it's already melted. But yeah, perhaps this night again. I don't know.
Oh,
let's see.
I will hold my thumbs for you. I'm skiing a little bit myself because I just love the snow. I try to take.
For skiing, it's not enough at the moment. We have to wait a few weeks, perhaps.
Well, tell me a little bit about you. So the listeners know more about you, because obviously I already know you, but the listeners don't.
It's great that you know me.
Thank you.
I'm the president or chairman of Der Voltigierzirkel. Der Voltigierzirkel is a club to support vaulting, especially in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, but worldwide, that's a problem. The magazine is in German. Yeah, we have thought about translating it, but it's too much work, so it's not possible for us, sadly. Yeah, and I'm a former vaulter as well and a former coach.
Wow, that's awesome. So you really have a lot of experience in vaulting too.
Yeah, I started when I was 8 years old, so, and now I'm 41. We can do the maths, but no, I'm not very good. But
for how many years did you do vaulting by yourself?
When did you
stop? How old were you when you stopped?
From time to time, I still do vaulting a little bit, but only 4 or 5 times a year, perhaps. But I stopped in 2014. I moved and I didn't find a new club, so I stopped it.
So you'd continued doing vaulting quite a long time then?
Yeah. I started very basic level and then improved a little bit and then a little bit more. And yeah, at least when we were as a team, we were M2 stars. So it's the second highest level, and individual vaulting. It was really possible to be S vaulter for some time, but low level S vaulter, I would say. So top level, but yeah, more or less at the bottom of it.
So you could say, because the classes are quite a little different compared to Germany when it comes to different countries. So S would be like hard, like the hardest, but maybe 1 or 2 star senior or something.
It's hard to compare for me, but in Germany it's still the highest level. So S is the highest level. International. I don't know, because I never competed at a CVI. So yeah, but I did not do the technical test. So
okay.
It's the tournaments where it was required, I didn't participate. Was too difficult for me.
But you did do scissors, right?
Yeah. It's more or less the world championship compulsories, but not as high as the top vaulters do it. But the same, same movements and requirements.
But it's very cool to hear that you continue doing vaulting for such a long time. I mean, maybe not on a regular basis, but I mean, there are so many different vaulting athletes doing vaulting on different levels, on different times of their life. And I love that the sport can still be there for somebody and you can be there for a sport for such a long time. Because a lot of times I feel that we talk about vaulting is only for young kids or for when you're about teenager and then you get into your 18 or 20s, you're done with the sport, or like mainly with a lot of sports. And I think it's good to hear that there are people outside there. They are just not showing that much in public because, different reasons. But I know there's a guy, wonderful guy, friend of mine, Thomas Lindqvist from Denmark. He still does vaulting too, and he does it on his level, which he likes to do it, maybe not like several times a week, but sometimes a week. So he does it like on his level where he wants to do it, and that's totally fine. And I think that is an inspiration, because a lot of people stop doing what they love, and why not do it even when you can't do it like five times a week? It's still good enough if it works for you.
Yeah, of course. Do what makes you happy. I know Walter, and she's, I'm not really sure, but I think she's 55 or so, and she's still in the team.
Wow.
And, yeah, she's happy. The team is happy. They do intermediate level, on a regional level, and yeah, everyone's happy. So why not?
That's so awesome. And more people should get out there and show that it is possible to continue. And just because you mentioned it, I remembered a woman I saw a video from, and maybe it was that woman, but she did an individual, and she was 50 plus and did it on a horse in Canter. And I was like, wow, I want to be her when I'm older.
Yeah.
I mean, you do it on your level, maybe not technical tests, but...
No.
What do you like most with vaulting?
I think it's working with the horse. It's the harmony with the horse. I really like it. And my technical skills weren't the best, but I think I could vault with the horse. And that was my strength. And perhaps still is my strength from time to time when I jump onto a horse.
Can you still do the vault on to the horse, the mount?
Yeah. That's no problem. Not till handstand, but I can get onto the horse and down again without hurting myself. So I'm quite proud.
Well, you have the advantage that you're a man, and men usually have a little bit easier, but I think you're quite tall, right? As well.
Yeah, and the horses in the club where I used to vault are not that high. Most of them, at least. When I was in the team, the horse only was about 165 meters.
Oh, well, that's small.
Quite small,
yeah.
But strong. Or perhaps 170, I don't know, but not that big.
That's interesting you're mentioning that, because I was actually thinking about how tall the horse from Friedenbeck was, because he looked quite small. But on the other hand, I thought some of the guys were probably also quite tall, so it's hard to see on a TV screen how big the horse was.
Yeah, I'm not sure too, but I think Victor is a little bit taller than I am.
Wow, how tall are you?
I am 180.
Yeah, that's tall. I'm like 159, 158, so I'm like super small.
You have a lot of space on the horse.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good advantage. Also, it is good because my clothes are quite cheap, because I can buy children's clothes.
Advantage, yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned you wear a vaulting trainer too. Do you still do train people?
No, I don't do it. There's no time. I have to focus on the voltigiert circle. It's enough work because I have to work not in vaulting. I have to earn money.
Oh, no, so boring.
Yeah, I have to get rich. No. Yeah, but I have to earn enough to live. it's not possible. And I thought about becoming a judge. Yeah, it's really, really interesting, I think. But yeah, there's no time. I think you really have to focus on one job beside your real job. It's better than doing this and this and this. And in the end, you're not happy because you're stressed.
And what do you do besides vaulting then? What do you earn your money with?
I'm a speech therapist and a communication coach.
Oh, that's cool. My imagination is that your job is something like in The King's Speech, the movie.
A little bit, yeah. It's a little bit more modern today, but yeah,
I guess so.
I try to coach the people, or coach people to speak fluently or to swallow without choking, and so on. And yeah, the voice is another big part of my work.
So you could actually be maybe a person who could learn other people how to talk in a writing arena, or like people like a coaching, right?
Yeah, I did coachings for coaches, but that's a few years ago. There weren't enough people interested in this topic, sadly. It's really interesting, but yeah, it was difficult to do workshops also because there weren't enough people taking part in it.
That's interesting, 'cause I did a song course several years ago. I did some of them, and after I learned how to use my voice more properly from the stomach, I started to use it when I whistle to my horse. I don't have a horse anymore, but when I had her, to whistle to her or to call her, and it made a huge difference. So I really understand how you can take care of your voice in a better way when you can use it better, like in a writing arena when you have to talk a lot. So sad that people don't understand how important that is.
Yeah, and many coaches really have problems with their voice. You can listen to them and you hear some really strange noises when they talk, and you think, oh my God, that's a little bit like that or something. Oh, too high. It's not very good for your voice.
No.
And not good for the horse and the waters.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. Well, I guess that is a topic you could talk about at your annual how do you say your annual workshop that you have by the Voltigierzirkel, which I would like to talk about too, because I had the possibility to participate for the first time since I haven't been able to travel to Germany. So tell me a little bit about the workshop that you usually have with the Voltigierzirkel.
Yeah, normally it's every 2 years in Altleiningen. Altleiningen is a small village about 50 or 60 kilometers away from Mannheim. So Mannheim is the next bigger city. And there is an old castle, and they made it a youth hostel. It's really great. And yeah, because of Corona or COVID, in Germany you say Corona, I don't know why. It's
Everybody
internationally, I
says
think it's
Corona.
more COVID. Yeah, because of COVID, we decided to do it online for the first time. Yeah, it's 3 times online. So the next one is in February 2022, and in 2023 we hope to be back in Altleiningen again. I love this event because there are so many great coaches and waters and judges from, especially from Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. But from time to time, we have some guests from the Netherlands or even the US. So it's, or Russia. There was one from
Wow.
Russia. It's really great. And we can do a translate if you want to participate. Dear listener, it's possible that we can translate to you. So 2023, come to Altleining. It's really great.
Wow, now you have to tell me, how do you translate? I mean, do you have like headphones for people or?
Oh, we had it once, but it was too expensive. So we decided just, it's hardly anyone who needs it, I have to say.
Wait, after
So
this podcast, you're gonna have hundreds.
that would be great. Then we could ask an interpreter to come. That would be really great. And if there are 3 or 5, 4 or 5 people, we can just ask someone from our staff to help translating it, because we have enough people talking English good enough to translate. For example, Resi, who does her podcast in German, she speaks English fluently. Yeah, we have several people speaking English, so it would be not a big problem.
That is such a great possibility. I mean, wow, we have to promote that. I mean, that is awesome. I mean, really, I have seen the schedule from former workshops you had at the castle, and I was stunned. It was awesome how much, I mean, different workshops you had. It was like, when I looked at the schedule, I was like, oh my god, but I want to do this and this and this, but it goes at the same time. Oh man, it's so much to choose from.
Yeah, that's a problem. It's always a problem to decide.
I mean, it's like vaulting heaven. At the first time I saw it, I was like, is this even possible? Is there something like this? I had no idea. Because I hadn't heard from the Voltigierzirkel, and I still meet people in Germany. I'm telling them about this magazine and your club, and they're like, oh, I had no idea. I was like, why don't you have any idea? Your child is vaulting for years, and I mean, this is huge. This is where I get a lot of information from.
Yeah, that's the reason we are on Facebook, Instagram, and we go to the national championships, and yeah, we try what we can, but yeah, it's not possible to reach everyone. So it's great that I'm here on the podcast. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, and I love to have you here because, yeah, I really, really like your work. And yeah, I mean, right at the moment, I'm drinking out my little champagne glass that I got from you, which has a vaulting horse on, and it's my favorite glass. And my boyfriend is not allowed to wash it because otherwise he would break it. And my Swedish vaulting trainer, she came home to me, is like, you have a glass with a vaulting horse? I want to have one too. It's like, yeah, I have one.
Yeah, shipping is quite hard. We had a lot of them damaged because of the post.
Seem to me they are not only hard with the packages in Sweden then.
No, they are.
But that was really, we can say that the people who were participating online in the first round were getting a glass from you with a little bottle of champagne, alcohol-free, but a little bottle of champagne. I was like, wow, this is so nice. I mean, just, yeah, it's just a little something that means a lot. It's really nice.
Yeah, that was our intention, to show the participants to, it's the first time we do it online, and 30 years Der Voltigierzirkel was a celebration of our club.
And I mean, that must also be quite sad that you can't celebrate it together with people because of COVID. And yeah, my parkour club here, which we have been talking about earlier, you and me, not on the podcast, but in the other times, they had a anniversary as well, and we couldn't celebrate it. It's really sad because COVID. But that
you
was
have
a good
to find
way.
Other ways.
Yeah, like a lovely vaulting glass. I mean, that's something. And tell me, I was thinking about what kind of work do you do in the Der Voltigierzirkel?
My main work is editing and writing the magazine. So you've already mentioned it. It's Aktueller Voltigierzirkel. It's a magazine we publish four times a year. And it's only vaulting. So it's the only magazine, at least in Germany or the countries which are German speaking, that's only about vaulting. It's a lot of work, but it's always great having it by seeing it and having holding it in your hands, and yeah, it's amazing having this magazine. And yeah, of course, I have to write a lot of emails or call other people on the phone, and when there are these workshops or conferences, I have to contact not only me, of course. I have a lot of, it's called Vorstand, and we are a club, so there are
The board.
People, the board, eight people leading this club. And they, of course, they do a lot of work. It's not only me, but I'm the president, so I have to be in the first row and say hello.
Yeah.
the workshops, of course, are a lot of work. We have some support for groups and coaches. It's in our magazine, you can apply. Yeah? There are different tasks. you can apply. Of course, we have to organize it, and we have to decide who's the best participant. Then we have the website. We have to manage the website. We have to go to championships or tournaments, which, of course, it's great fun, but, of course, it takes time. Then we cooperate with different organizations, for example, the German FN,
the riding
organization, the riding and horse organization in Germany. Or there's another one, it's Stiftung Deutscher Voltigiersport. So they support vaulting, especially for groups and pas de deux.
That's interesting.
They do big tournaments 2 times a year. We work together with them. Yeah, that's a lot of work, but of course, everything is really fun, but it takes time.
And I understand that your work in Der Voltigierzirkel is, how do you say? You don't get paid for it. It's a free job. Yeah.
Yeah, it's voluntary.
Yeah.
Work. Everything is not for money. It's only. Of course, if we spend money, we get it back.
Yeah.
So, for example, I bought some stuff for the German Championships. I got it back. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't earn money.
Yeah, you don't get any salary on it.
No.
Yeah. And what are your what is your vision for the future? Do you have any like great ideas you want to become true in the future? What are your plans and wishes and dreams?
It depends on if I think about Der Voltigierzirkel or vaulting in general. So Der Voltigierzirkel, I think what we can do in the future is to connect especially the German-speaking countries. Yeah, we do it already, but I think we can do it better. Because I often hear from... I'm at a conference in Germany, and they talk, what can we do with the horses, for example. It's only an example. And I think, has anyone asked how they do it in Switzerland or in Austria?
Yeah.
And quite often they haven't asked. And I think, it's a pity. Yeah, connection.
Yes.
That's really important.
I think I feel the same, because in Sweden we just recently had like our vaulting committee had a meeting, a yearly meeting, and we hadn't had it for like 2 years, and there were so many things we were discussing, and I think a lot of times we're making it harder because we're trying to solve the issues by ourselves instead of taking inspiration from others or looking just outside our own little country and wow, okay, well, there are a lot of different things we could do, but it's about getting the knowledge too and knowing the people. And sometimes I feel that our sport is a little bit too small, so only the people in it know about it. So when you don't have any experience, when you just see vaulting like on a competition, it's like, wow, I want to do this. You don't know where to start because there's not enough information to find out how to start. And
yes, it's difficult. Yeah. You have to find a club, you have to find a coach or a great horse.
Yeah. And I mean, of course you need to make yourself a name if you want to get to rent other horses in that, but it's just, I think it's much easier to get information about show jumping and dressage. How is it in Germany? Because I mean, vaulting is, yeah, Germany is the biggest country for vaulting.
Yeah, but it depends where you live. So, for example, I lived in Saarland. Saarland is close to the French border, and there are hardly any clubs. I think there are 3 or 4 clubs, and that's not really a lot. If you live close to Münster, this is part of Germany, there are so many horses and there are so many waters. It's amazing. It's not very hard to find a club which offers vaulting. Yeah.
I think that's so funny you say that only 3 or 4 vaulting clubs, because we have 23 in Sweden. In whole Sweden.
Yeah, okay.
And I think there may be 4 of them in total who are like big, and the rest is medium to small. So it's always how and in which perspective you put it.
Yeah, of course.
What do you know how many clubs, vaulting clubs, there are in Germany?
No, I have to ask the FN. there are statistics, so you can find out. It's not very difficult, but I don't know at the moment. No.
Yeah, I was just curious. I know that the Vaulting World has done this map for vaulting clubs, and I haven't actually looked at Germany. I just looked at Sweden, looked if everybody was on it, because yeah, it's nice when everybody wants to be on the map too. And we have one that is only for Sweden too, which the youth vaulting committee did for Sweden. Mm. So at least Swedes can easily find, and we have put it on the Riding Association's homepage too, so it can be found.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, it's a small sport.
Yeah, it is. There was a website with a lot of links, so to all the clubs, but it doesn't exist anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, this was one person very motivated to maintain this website, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah, of course, and cost some money too to have it.
Yeah. He was the vice president of Der Voltigierzirkel for a few years. So, still in contact with him, but he doesn't do anything with vaulting anymore. It's quite sad, but okay.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, it takes a little effort to keep it going and to have it updated as well.
Yeah, it does.
Well, is there something you are particularly proud of from your vaulting career when you were vaulting?
Other vaulters probably would laugh about it, but I was with a team 3 times champion of Saarland.
Of so, your county, yeah,
at least. And it was a nice success for us. And we had a quite entertaining freestyle, so I enjoyed doing it. Yeah, that I think was my highlight.
That's lovely. I mean, we don't even have so many. I think we have like maybe 3 or 4 county championships, because the other counties don't have so many vaulting clubs to even have a competition for the counties. It's impossible.
Yeah, there were probably only about 3 teams or so, but yeah, the competition was on our level quite high. So it was nice so that we managed to be champion 3 times.
would you say that there were like some of your favorite moments too from your vaulting career, or are there other ones that you could think about that you enjoyed?
Oh, there are a lot. So every time we had a freestyle we enjoyed, or the horse was great, it just was fun. And sometimes when we participated in a little bit bigger tournaments, at the end we were perhaps the 6th best team of 7 teams, but it didn't matter, because we were satisfied. We did what we could. Yeah, our horse was good. So yeah, it wasn't our goal to be on the first place every time. It would be nice, but it wasn't our goal.
And which position did you have when you were on a team?
I was always not always, but a lot of I was sitting on the horse and holding other people.
So well, like the base.
yeah. And shoulder stand. I did a shoulder stand on another vaulter. So this was the highest position I was in, I think.
Well, that's cool. I mean, not everybody does that.
It wasn't that easy for me, I have to say.
Yeah. I have done just for fun on a like a movie competition with a friend, a putter, and she's a little bit smaller than me. So I know that it is good sometimes to have exercises where a person who is a little bit taller than the other one does exercises on the top too. So, but it
No,
isn't easy.
yeah, but it's good for the freestyle if you change positions.
Yeah, of
Otherwise,
course.
it's a little bit boring.
Of course, of course. Do you remember if you had a favorite theme?
Oh, we had a quite strange mixture of I don't know how they are called in English. It's in Germany they are called Glücksbärchis.
Oh my God, I know
Happy bears,
which one.
perhaps smiling bears, something like that.
Some kind of cartoon comic with teddy bears with different signs on the belly. Was it? Like one has hearts on it or something?
It was a little bit childish, and the song after it was, I think it was AC/DC Hell's Bells, so it was really, really strange, but it was great because I think you know Frauke Bischoff.
Yes, I know her.
She's a choreographer, I think you can say, and she always has great ideas. So it's never boring working with her. And we decide, okay, let's do it. It's a really a great break, a music break from this happy song to Hell's Bells. But there was a nice, some movements with the hands or the whole body. I could really do a lot with this music. Not only, the same kind of music. Sometimes it's getting a little bit boring if it's always very calm
Yes.
music and to change it a little bit.
And I mean, as long as the horse is comfortable with it, why not?
It wasn't a problem at all. He was a little bit lazy, so
Needed to wake up a little.
Sometimes it's a good
It's funny that you said you had a pretty quite hard rock song. I mean, Hell's Bells,
idea.
the people
Yeah,
who
but
have.
only the beginning of the song.
But still, because I remember when I was vaulting at a club, I had a trainer who said, "No, you can't do hard rock," because I was always like, "I want to try hard rock for vaulting," just because it's something that not everybody does and because I like hard rock. And I've been thinking about it a lot, but I never tried it because maybe I was just too shy to try it or didn't find like the right music that felt good to move to because I still want to be feeling that good feeling of moving. But then I saw the Swedish team from Svea. It wasn't the seniors, I think it were the juniors, or they have two senior teams, and it was one of them. They did Metallica. I was like, okay, finally we can do it in Sweden because they did it. Now everybody else can do it too. It's a bit like somebody has to do it first so other people can do it too.
I think hard rock is great because there are a lot of Frauke calls them talks. So it's a boom, boom, boom. It's not always la 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 and boring. No, it's not always boring. But I think you have to do a little bit more powerful music, and then something perhaps a little bit not so loud and smooth. So the mixture, I think that's really great.
And also, you know that the hardest hard rock bands have done the smoothest and nicest, most nicest ballads. So you can still find very calm music because they, Ozzy Osbourne and it was more a lot of great hard rock artists and bands have done like Metallica too. Nothing else matters like really smooth ballads. So.
That would be great, I think.
Yeah, and also it would be interesting, you know, the suit, I mean, doesn't look like everything else with glitter and glamour, something like hard. Maybe gonna do like a Kraftwerk or something.
But Kraftwerk,
Wait, no, no,
it's more
I'm thinking wrong.
electronic.
Yeah, I remember. No, that was wrong.
Perhaps Rammstein,
Yeah,
perhaps. Yeah, why not? I think there are certainly some songs you can use. Not everything, of course, but yeah.
Yeah, cut
Or
it.
parts of it, parts of the songs. Can cut
Yeah,
it. No
yeah.
problem today.
And I think that was really nice, the one that Svea did with, because they cut together different kind of Metallica songs, and it was a really good mix.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Great.
Do you have any vaulting idols? I mean, or not idols, it's that's like a big word, but people you get inspired by. It doesn't have to be vaulters, it could be anybody, but in vaulting.
Yeah, certainly. When I was, I think about, how old was I? I think mid-20s or so, I really thought that Matthias Lang was a great vaulter from France, because he was such a soft vaulter. He hardly touched the horse, it seemed. That's so great. And Nadja Zülow, of course. Nadja Zülow was the vaulter in Germany at this time, and she was so smooth and elegant, really, really great vaulter. Today, of course, Lombert is really great. It's amazing. Oh, there are so many. Yannick Heiland, great vaulter. Of course, the French vaulters now, the team No Rock. I know that not everyone likes No Rock, but I enjoyed their freestyles. There was such an energy in it, I think.
Me too, and especially when you look beyond the competition circle, because I saw a little show for the Olympic Committee when they wanted to present vaulting for Olympics, and they did a show just around the horse, and I have never seen something like that. They barely touched the horse in some things they did, or barely touched it by jumping over it and doing rolls on the in the air and on the floor, but also when they did things on the horse, it felt that they didn't touch the horse. The horse did his job and wasn't touched by them, wasn't disturbed by them at all. And that was so out of space in some kind of way because it was so smooth that.
I think that's the essence of vaulting.
Yes, yeah. But it takes so much time to get there because it takes a lot of training.
Yeah, on the one hand, yes, but on the other hand, just do what you can vault this way. So if you're not able to do handstand or jumps, just don't do it. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
So I try to do only these parts that were safe for me and the horse. Of course, you can try everything on the movie today. Yeah, the movie is great for trying and really practice, practice, practice. And if you are safe enough to do it on the horse, you can do it, of course. But what I see on tournaments, there are vaulters who, and now I try it, I try it. I jump and, oh, damn it. And the horse, oh, has a lot of pain. That's really a problem, I think.
You're saying a quite important thing here, and I recently discussed it with Amanda from Denmark because she and I, we both have the same simulator, vaulting simulator, and we both feel that it is such a relief for the horse that we can crash into that machine several times and we can learn the trick. And then when I feel, okay, now I feel ready, now I have done it on the simulator and I feel steady and ready, then I go and do it on the horse. And then there's a totally different starting point. And I mean, I know it's not easy to for everybody to feel, okay, I can do vaulting without a horse. But it is possible. I have been proven wrong by myself because I thought it was impossible to start a group which only would do vaulting on a simulator. But at the moment, I have them. And they are both grown-ups and children. The children, they don't have any experience from vaulting on horses, so for them, it's just fun. They are not thinking about, I need a horse. For the grown-ups, the ones who have been doing vaulting before on a horse, some of them feel like, oh, I want to have horse too because I miss the horse part. But then there are some of them who think it's still a fun way of exercising and doing stuff and feeling, okay, I am able to do this because it takes away a lot of fear. So, and for myself, I found out that if I would have done some things on the horse first, when just doing it in walk and then in canter, I would have built up a fear. But since I learned it on the simulator and I know I'm physically capable of doing it in canter on the simulator, I don't have the fear anymore because I know I can trust my own body as long as I can trust the horse. So if it's an experienced horse, I know I can trust my body. So it's really, it has made vaulting to, yeah, it has raised the bar with 100%. And it's sad that when people talk about, oh, it's so expensive and stuff, well, but what does the horse cost? I mean, per month in buying the simulator is quite cheaper in the short run already, so.
And horses are getting more expensive every year, I think. You really have to take care of them. Not only because they are animals, you have to care for them, but they are so expensive.
Oh yes, oh
Really
yes.
think about what you do with them.
Well, today we're gonna find a new nail polish for the horse's hooves. No, just joking, but yeah, it's expensive. Well, if you compare when you started vaulting to further in your career as a vaulter, or maybe like the last times you were vaulting now, how has the horse changed, the horses you have been vaulting on? Because I heard from, and I have seen it on videos too, that the vaulting horses were different 20 years ago compared to now. How did that feel, that journey for you? What are your thoughts on that?
When I think back, it wasn't really great for the horses when I started. I was too small to know what I was doing or the coach was doing. But today I would say no way. The horse wasn't a vaulting horse. It was an old horse, hardly cantering at all. It was more or less, it was horrible, I have to say. And I think it started about 10 years later. So it was 1998 or so. No, a little bit earlier, 96 or so. And then we had the first good horse, I would say. A horse that was really able to carry a team. And that was a huge difference. It was so much more fun, and I started noticing that the horse has to be able to carry the vaulter or the team. I wasn't aware, and it became more important from year to year for me. So now I think if a horse is not able to carry the vaulter, stop it. Don't do it. Can't do it.
Well, I usually think there is a horse for every vaulter, and I think that more horses can give something to a vaulter, but the but is it depends on which gait you use it. Because if you have a little pony that really can't do a good canter, well, maybe at least it can give something in walk or trot. But if it can carry itself and walk and trot, it's fine. But if it can't do it in canter, don't do it, as you say. But it could maybe be a good horse for a beginner, because a small
For
pony,
therapy.
not very, very, very high. It's low to the floor, to the ground, to fall. It gives some trust. So it depends on where you want to go in your vaulting
That's right.
career.
That's right. Yeah, I thought about doing it in canter. But of course, if you're only for beginners or if you need a horse for therapy, it's really important that it's really a calm one and friendly one. That's the most important part. And it doesn't have to do a great cantering or something like that. But if you want to compete, it has to have a certain level.
Yes, of course.
It's not necessarily that it's expensive. If you can train it, it doesn't have to be expensive. I know, for example, Kerstin Bock. Perhaps you know Kerstin Bock?
Yeah.
And she's a great, great coach for horses. And I think she doesn't need expensive horses. She just can train them. And other people can do so too, but they have to learn it. I couldn't do it. I'm not a horse coach or a langer, not a great one at least. So I think you really have to specialize on it.
Yeah, and also I think, I mean, of course, not only that you are able to train the horse, you also need to be able to know what you look for. Because, if you don't know which horses are good for the job, it's hard to find them too. I mean, there are people using all kind of different horses for vaulting, but it also always depends on what is the main goal. Is the main goal here now, we want to have a team that goes further and competes, or not? And I was reading recently one of the new beginner books for vaulting, just because I was curious about the books. I bought it because it was quite small one and with a lot of pictures. And the first time I was thinking more about how it is a German book, how it is more strict, like divided into what are your ambitions. So it's like, okay, we have the therapy vaulting, where the ambitions when it comes to the size and the gaits of the horses and also about the gear is much, much lower than when it goes to, you want to compete high level. And then we're talking about the intermediate people who are mainly for having fun as vaulting as a sport, but and maybe competing too, but still on a like more local level, and then the elite. And the interesting thing is only that they were still talking about that you need to start when you're so young. And that is something I do criticize, because I think you can become whatever you want to if you set your mind to it and you work to it. I mean, of course, it's also an issue about money. You can never forget about that. In every sport, if you want to go to higher levels, you need to pay for stuff, for trainers, for... Yeah, I mean, of course, it's a money issue too. But I think it's not only about you have to start when you're six. So.
No.
I mean, of course, I will never be a flyer. I'm a grown-up now. But it depends on where. Where is my ambition level? How much work do I want to set into it? How much have I been injured before? Stuff like that. But age is just a number. Your ambitions is the second.
I'm not sure, but I think Kai Forberg was 15 when he started.
Okay.
So he wasn't really young at all. Of course, he did other sports, so he was fit. But he didn't do vaulting, as far as I know.
And I am thinking more and more about if it isn't even, though, that it is good to specialize in a sport later on. Because then you can use all the skills from different sports that you've been using and put it into vaulting, because vaulting is such a broad sport. You have to be good at so many different things. I mean, if you can't have a feeling of beat, you're screwed, because you have the beat. You need the beat feeling for the horse to be sync with it. So.
And for the music.
Yes, exactly. So I mean, I really try to find a sport that is as hard as vaulting, but I still haven't found it. Maybe triathlon, but that's like hard in a different way. But I mean, they're just like trained in my thoughts. Maybe I'm just square in my head. I don't know, but I feel that triathlon is something that you need to be good at endurance. So it's one thing that is a main thing. But in vaulting is like there are so many things you need to be good at. And you never have enough time to be good at all of it. You just have to choose in different times of the year and years.
Lambert can do it, so ask him.
I heard he tried. He started when he was really little, and he was already very, very flexible and gymnastic when he was a child. So maybe he got talent.
probably.
Yeah. Well, that trick that he showed this year, it was out of space. Have you seen it?
Yeah. This I don't know, flick flack in Germany. How is it called?
A backhand spring, I think it is in English.
Yeah.
We say flick is in Sweden too, so it's almost the same. But yeah, from the side to the ground and up again.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
What did he just do?
It's amazing. It's really amazing.
Well, what was your favorite freestyle movement? Did you have one?
Not really, I have to say. Sometimes standing on the horse sideways was a nice one. Shoulder stand if it was a good one, I liked it. But sometimes it was really bad, so and then I thought, oh, damn it.
Well, maybe you were more of a compulsory guy.
I wasn't great. Yeah.
No, but you go great for yourself. That's the main thing.
Yeah, but I think everything was quite okay. So if everything was okay, I was satisfied because I wasn't that flexible. I'm not a really brave vault. I don't do standing on one leg and jumping down if it doesn't work out or so. No, that's not for me. It's more to be on the safe side. And what I've already told you, that walking with the horse, that was what I really liked. So this feeling being in sync with the walking horse, that was great.
Well, that's wonderful. And I mean, I think that can take a long for some people to figure out. So that's a really good one. It's big and important.
And I think if you see a really great vaulter, he's really vaulting with the horse. And if there's one and you think, he's good, but then it's because he vaulted with the horse, but against it.
Mm.
Perhaps it's not always the case, of course, but sometimes it is.
And it's funny you're mentioning that, because my dream for vaulting, my like long term, that has been there from, I think, from the day I saw bigger competitions on TV, which was quite early in my career as an adult, when I started again as an adult. And that feeling, that has been like my main goal.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's just that I want to accomplish. And maybe that's like a huge goal, because who can have that feeling during the whole freestyle or the whole technical test or compulsories? I mean, it's not easy, but that is like my dream. And if you have accomplished something like that, that's amazing.
Not every time, of course, but from time to time.
Yeah. Do you think there's something you would like to tell the listeners how to come into that feeling? Is there something that helps to get there?
Yeah, but it has a lot to do with feeling, what you have already told. Getting this feeling for the horse, I think just spending time with the horse, preparing it. And I'm not a rider, so I can't ride them, but just sitting on the horse, feeding the horse. And when I had to decide, I decided to do the lower level exercise instead of the higher level when it felt better. Of course, if you can really do a great trick and it feels good, do it. But if it doesn't feel good, I wouldn't do it. I really needed this feeling that's yeah, save for me and the horse. And then, yeah, it was a great feeling. And perhaps that when I see a beginner, so I would tell him or her to do more basic level at the beginning and to just get this feeling. And do a lot of different exercises. It's what you tell all the listeners. Do different stuff on the horse, with the horse, and different disciplines if you are able to. I think that's always great.
Yeah, right. If you can ride the horse into the woods or do jumping or dressage or something else, of course, that makes you have a better bond and get a better feeling to the horse too.
Yeah, and if you're not a rider, you can work on the floor with the horse and just go for a walk with him or her.
Yeah, why not? Oh, that's lovely. They're super nice things to take home, I think. Thank you.
That's what I'm missing because I'm not doing a lot of walking at the moment. So
Oh.
just spending time with the horse, that's really great.
Oh.
And I think it's if you're stressed because of work or whatever, just spending time with the horse, it's a great opportunity.
You're totally right about it. Just today, I thought about I was riding. I'm riding a horse just for leisure. It's not a vaulting horse, so it's just a small horse for riding into the woods. But I just rode her in the snow, and I was like thinking about the times back when I had my own horse. And usually, after I had been doing a test at the university when I studied, it's like always, okay, after the test, I'm gonna go out and have a hike in the woods, because that was like my treat after a test. And still, that is like it's so nice because you don't think about anything else than being there with a horse and maybe experiencing something in the woods and having a nice time being right now and nowhere else.
And by the way, if you watch the Great Waters, they very often have a great connection with their horse. Take for example Alina Ross, she gave her horse a kiss. I think that's really great because it shows that they really are connected. And Long Bear, of course, has a great connection to the horse. And for example, Victor Brusewitz, I think really developed a lot because now he's really walking with the horse. And perhaps there were times that he were improving over time. I hope he is not angry with me when I tell it this way. Perhaps it's only my impression. And but I thought sometimes, it's really now it's really great. But one can improve.
Well, and yeah, why shouldn't it be that way, that spending time with a horse and getting it to become your partner means a lot? I do really agree with that. I recently started to connect more with the vaulting horse I'm on at the moment, and it's like he chose me, and that makes something with me. And I think in that way you become partners instead of only that feeling of doing something on a horse. It's no, we're doing this together. Like we would do it together if we would jump an obstacle. And yeah, that's a game changer to change that point of view. That's a really good one, Felix. I like that. Yeah, that was a deep one. That's a good one. Good one. Well, I had a really great time talking to you, and I
And me
was
too.
wondering, is there any more topics you would like to talk about?
I think I could talk about vaulting for hours, but
Me
I think
too.
the main topics we've covered.
Oh, that's awesome. And yeah, just let us say it one more time that if anyone wants to go on the greatest vaulting workshop in Europe, well, there are not so many that are that big either, with a lot of great trainers and vaulters and people from all around. and wants to have a translation to English in Germany, now you know he can do it.
Of course.
And I would also say and reach out here if anybody hears this and is awesome and has some time to spend with translating German to English, Der Wollte Jürzirkel would love to have you.
Yeah, of course. We always are looking for supporters, translators, coaches, Walters, judges.
And if you don't speak German, you can have the magazine still because there's a great poster in it every month.
Yeah, of course. Or you can learn German. It's a great language.
Yes, of course. Why not? I mean, it's lovely to learn a new language.
Yeah, it is.
And also you can have you can get a lot of discounts and different things and stuff when you're let's not forget to talk about your homepage where you have tons of videos from different German competitions that you can watch for free as a member.
Yeah. German competitions or even international competitions.
Wow.
This year it's not so many, there are not so many video clips from international competitions because of COVID.
Yeah.
Guess it, yeah. Yeah, it's we worked together with Mark Schürmann, and I think he was one of the first professional videographer.
I heard this recently, but yeah.
I thought about the word. He's really great, but he had some problems with COVID and the restrictions of traveling and so on. But I hope that next year it's better again for him. He had some really hard times.
Yeah.
Can only get better.
It was really nice talking to you, Felix. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
If you have any questions or ideas for new episodes of this pod, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us through Instagram, where the name is The Vaulting Blog, or by email, which is thevaultingblog@gmail.com.